You? You're the blue skies kind. The let's take the long trail kind. The immerse yourself in nature kind. The teach a new generation to love and preserve it too kind. The cold local brews after a day full of adventure kind. The adventurous kind. The friendly kind. The local culture seeker kind. And simply the kind. Kind. You're the checkout visit parkcity.com right now kind. Park City, Utah. For the mountain kind.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. In this episode, we're talking about the Trinity and how God is a family. We need a good, clear model for what whole healthy family looks like. You can't hit a target you don't see, and it's hard to be accurate when you're given fake targets. Jesus came to display perfect family dynamics, submission, diversity, and self-giving love. He also came to reconcile us to the original whole healthy family, God. We're here to point you at the right target so you can fire away. Episode 3 is locked and loaded. Here we go.
Welcome to The Kylo Show. This is a podcast where we're talking about different ways to apply Keep Your Love On and really chasing after whole healthy families and how they are going to save the world.
That's it. That's it.
That's what we want.
We actually believe that.
We do. And everything we're doing is to fight for that.
We are. Like. We're going to keep dropping the Keep Your Love On principles again and again throughout everything we talk about. But this one is called The Trinity.
The Trinity.
Something light and fluffy.
Yes. So we're really just going to continue to break down, you know, kind of God's design of family, because it's been pretty obvious if you look around in the world that we seem to be missing a really clear, good example. So just really wanting to chase after clarity and truth and bring to the surface maybe some things that are scary words, you know, we'll get to them. but really just that whole idea of whole healthy families and what does that look like when God created it in its beautiful way.
It's kind of perfect that, you know, the God who created us and then invites us into a love relationship, a family relationship, is himself a family.
Yeah.
I mean, God is one, right? But God is three, the Trinity. So we have this language in Christianity of that very thing where God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, you know, we love gender, we love all the, you know, gender roles and all that stuff, but we have to understand that somehow Adam was created in our image. So one guy comes out with three very different characteristics, and it's a family. It's a ready-to-go family, so much so that we could just take Eve right out of him, and bam, there is a completely different...
That's quite the noises you're making.
Human. I'm sorry. That's probably really... I'm a noise guy.
You are, but it's great. Yeah. I mean, I get it. I love that, again, you know, God took from Adam's side and said, here you go. Here's another one in my image.
Yeah, and then, you know, day of Pentecost... Here comes the Holy Spirit. So here we go. We have that triune entity in each of us because we are like our God.
Yeah.
Jesus, you know, he lays it out and he says, here's the Father. I do nothing except what I see my Father doing. I am the Son. If you knew my Father, you'd know me because I'm his son.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit. When I go, the Holy Spirit's going to come. Like, okay. And Father, I pray that they would be one as we are one. Mm-hmm. So here we go. The template for how we successfully move through life as a whole unit, as a whole family, actually requires that each person does their role, just as the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit do their role so well that they come together as a unit. And that's really the assignment of a family.
Which, when I think about, you know, when God has Jesus, his son, like just to have that aspect to, I mean, relatability almost, like, you know, when Jesus dies on the cross and all of that happens, like the aching of a father's heart, like it just is so interesting to think about that God wanted to be able to display that to us, like that same love and, you know, give what I can and to steward something well. Like, I just feel like that is such a beautiful aspect to be pulled apart of even just the Trinity, to think that God would say, I'm a father just as you are, or a parent, you know, and all of that. That's just a beautiful aspect for me.
It is. It's family. You know, it's like set a standard. Mm-hmm. Here you go, guys.
Completely.
Yep. Reach up here. The fall, you know, the work of Adam, the first Adam, is really, you know, it breaks us out of communion with our family, and sets man on this journey by himself, orphaned, really. In many ways, he's just orphaned. He's no longer in that perfect fellowship of the garden. He's now been removed. You want to be a god? You want to serve another god? There you go.
Yeah.
We'll wait. You know, we'll wait.
Yeah.
You're on a timer. We're not.
Yeah.
Right? And it becomes the mission of Jesus Christ to come to the earth and reconcile man with his family, man with his father, and so that he's no longer orphaned and just wandering around trying to survive the rules.
You're talking, I'm thinking, this is the original No Fun Chair.
This is no fun.
Feel free to join us.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, man.
Let me know when you got that problem worked out.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of how this feels a little bit. It's like, you know, I giving the power of choice and my role to guide you but not control you, you know.
Yeah.
The position of a father.
Yeah. So we, every family has family dynamics, right? And
yes.
And so Jesus comes to put on display the healthiest family dynamics that we can achieve. You know, it's like, okay, if you see me, you've seen a perfected relationship between me and my Father and me and the Holy Spirit. And you're like, all right, well, let's watch that. What's he going to do? Well, he's got three main things that he's going to put on display. One is the S word.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Can we say
it.
That
I
on
don't,
a podcast?
I don't think so.
I don't know. Submission.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And not like a UFC move.
No.
Like this, that. No. This is like...
This is the word that most women don't like.
Because they think it's a UFC move.
It feels like it sometimes. I think that's why nobody likes it.
And then we have diversity. Mm-hmm. Like everybody has to be their own person. And then we have to have covenant or self-giving love. Man, I'm going to give myself everything I got to make this work. So let's start with the submission. I mean, it's such a necessary thing for the flow of authority to work. I mean, it becomes a competition, but really when you submission, when you bring yourself into support what we're all trying to do, I mean, anybody that's working on a project together successfully is in submission to the mission.
Right.
Right. I mean, they've submitted to the mission.
And it's not necessarily the person. Maybe there's a leader, but it's really the whatever the goal is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're fighting for. You know, I think in Luke 7:8, it talks about, you know, Jesus is knowing his authority because he's submitted.
Yeah. He says it to the centurion.
Yeah. But the crazy part is that, you know, there's no lack of feeling like he's restricted to what he is empowered to do, or but he's got authority. It's more like this sense of pride, and
it's the confidence that comes from mm-hmm. order.
Yeah,
you know, like I know how this works. Look at that guy right there. That guy believes for healing because mm-hmm. he understands order.
Yeah, I was just thinking of a story with when Taylor was little, and we used to have all these conferences where we were at Bethel, and he couldn't get in because he doesn't, you know, it's, I don't know, he was 10, running around, something like that.
Yeah, he's in the Christian school there, just running around.
Yeah, and he couldn't get in because nobody, Taylor, whatever, and so he changed his name to Danny Silk's son.
He put a name badge on, flipped it over, uh-huh. and wrote that on the back.
So it was like he knew the authority in which was and submission to his father.
And he knew what would open doors.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what happened every single conference from that point out, is that that boy always had just Danny Silk's son.
Yes.
as his submitted authority.
Yeah, it worked for him.
It did.
It does. And that's actually a great illustration of how order flows from the father to the son.
Mm-hmm.
And then the son gets to run around with that ticket and say, I am here by order of my father.
Yes.
All things that my father commands, I get to command.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how far he took that. But.
Well, I think it was mostly just the front row, but
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful thing that he, I guess, felt empowered to be able to have that.
Yeah. So true submission is how we release authority, especially authority over the enemy, over evil, mm-hmm. over destruction, anything that would come against our family, mm-hmm. we can unleash the authority that it takes to rule over chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when order is broken because we refuse to submit, then we end up like Adam.
Mm.
You know, we end up on our own.
No fun chair.
Yeah, we're in the no fun chair for 6,000 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's a long time. That was a long time up.
That was and I just think, again, that thing of submission, the frustration around that word, I think it's because of the perversion of it feeling controlling and limiting
mm-hmm.
rather than empowering and freeing and, mm-hmm. and just even understanding what I get when I say yes to partnering with this.
Yeah, it's like functioning within the company policies or trying to function outside of that. You know, the authority of the company comes with you, the authority of the resources, the people are going to back you up because you are protecting the mm-hmm. mission overall.
Yeah.
So we have the mission, submission, and then we have the diversity. Another principle in whole healthy families is everybody gets to be themselves. Now, you don't get to be, if you think you're a jerk, you don't get to stay a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just a jerk. That's who I am. Yeah. Nope. That would be a violation of the mission.
Mm-hmm.
So let's work out what the rub is. Let's work out how you're undermining our relationships. But the diversity gets to stay, which is, you know, you're much more wired to be an engineer, and you're much more wired to be an athlete, and you're much more wired to be an artist. And we got to figure this out. Like, how are we going to get all these ingredients together to make a beautiful cake?
Mm. Which I think that I love the value of diversity instead of fighting to find one person that we agree with.
Right, which is classically, we turn diversity into uniform.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is a misunderstanding of submission as well.
Mm.
You know, and we'll talk about after the break, we'll talk about how all this gets busted up. But I think the idea of I will value differences because love is my driving force, not fear. Fear is going to lead me to try to control you to be me, but I want to see you be you. Mm-hmm. I don't need you to be me. I don't need to be affirmed in who I am. I need to find, and then really it leads to the next one, which is covenant love. I will, through covenant love, I will sacrifice what I might get right now so that I can serve our relationship and your benefit. So there comes the third one. The covenant is really what commits me to push through my own fear, my own discomfort, to lay out benefit and service for your success.
So is the self-giving love, is that like the mission?
It's kind of the how.
Okay.
You know, the mission is, the submission is the why.
Okay.
You know, but the self-sacrificing, the self-giving love is really, this is how we do it. Okay. This is, I think this is why it's, you know, love one another. Mm-hmm. No greater love is anybody than to experience that I would lay down my life for your benefit, mm-hmm. you know.
So that's our how to do it, which is maybe why you wrote Keep Your Love On. Mm. That might be
keep that stuff going.
Yeah, that might be a key reason.
Kylo, Kylo, Kylo.
Uh-huh, over and over and over again.
Yep.
Most of our families have dysfunction. It was passed on from one generation to the next. But you can change your family tree by training up the next generation. Show host Brittany Serple has another podcast, Coffee Kids and Crazy. Yeah, we know, she's a busy lady. Coffee Kids and Crazy is a parenting podcast about making heart-to-heart connections with your kids. It's hosted by Brittany and Seth Dahl. It's super fun and very helpful. You can find the Coffee Kids and Crazy podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch it on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel.
So we don't do family super well. We've got some brokenness around this.
Huh? We had some dysfunction in our family dynamics.
Yeah. We know what the image of family should be by God's standard. Like mm-hmm. he broke it down for it. And that's what we've been talking about. But what we seem to be replicating is a broken version.
Totally. And it's because we attacked those three elements. Mm. You know, I mean, submission is a swear word, you know, I mean, it's just like, it is a UFC move. Yes. It is a way that you hurt somebody. Mm-hmm. It's the way you dominate someone. It's how you get your way is through the misuse of submission.
And there is no, I mean, when you just say the word submission, I don't know that there's anyone that sees it as a positive word. And just
no, it kind of it automatically ascribes that you're less than, mm-hmm. you're less powerful than, you have less choice than I do, you have less opportunity than I do, and so in essence you're just gonna end up being used by me mm-hmm. to get stuff for me. I'm gonna work through your strength and resources and talents to benefit me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's exactly what that word, when I hear submission, I think weak and, you know, not as equal. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely, I mean, I know what heaven's view of submission is, but I also know that it's not always the first thing that comes to my head.
Yeah, and, you know, we all know that the enemy is unable to create. He can only pervert creation. Mm-hmm. And so perverting authority, creating, playing to man's own self-preservation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it worked in the garden. It worked in a place where Adam only knew the goodness of God. It worked there to tempt Adam away from trusting God's authority and to go try to set up his own.
Which is crazy when, you know, we're walking through that Adam was really set up for success in the best way possible. Like, you had nothing. And God's like, I remember talking about this with Seth on my podcast when we were talking about sex. And, you know, God's talking about sex. Go be fruitful and multiply. Mm-hmm. Go and build family is really what God is saying. And it's, he's being the example of this good place. And it's just this, what's crazy to think about is the goodness of God, and that there was still this rob of what the family's meant to be. Mm-hmm. and how this tore it apart and broke it down. And, you know, most men that I know, the idea of being fruitful and multiply being one of the biggest jobs that you have, it's probably a good life.
Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't be too bad. Go. Go.
Go. Was,
those are different rules back then. You know, like, just go have sex. I'm like, wow, that's...
Which I think, again, like, when we're talking about the breakdown of submission and that being one of the biggest things that we're trying to create, you know, I think about the breakdown of families. One of the biggest things that have happened that have robbed the world right now is like the abortion rate. Like, be fruitful and multiply is the biggest, one of the biggest attacks. Like, there's less people getting married now than ever. There's more people having abortions more than ever. I mean, like, the statistics I found is 62 million babies in 48 years.
Yeah.
Which is like, how do you keep the idea of family when everywhere you turn, the world's saying, nah.
Yeah, well, the whole point of a family is to protect the innocent, mm-hmm. to protect the vulnerable, to protect those who can't protect themselves. And when your rebellion and desire to direct yourself strips you of godliness and morality to the point to where you can use your authority to destroy babies. Yeah, that's a little symptom of you got the wrong God. Yeah. You are following the destroyer, not the one who brings wholeness and safety and protection. The fingerprints of the destroyer are all over that move. And so that sends shockwaves through society when we, you know, we know the quality of a society based on how they treat their most vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, elderly,
mm-hmm.
Children,
right.
People who fail,
mm-hmm.
you know, prisoners.
Yeah, yeah.
Criminals. Mm-hmm. You can watch the morality, the standards, the quality of any group with authority on how they protect or how they use their authority with the most vulnerable.
And is that because, like, the fear of submission? Like, I'm afraid that I'm going to be controlled, so I'm just going to take over control. I'm just going to do it. And that's where the I'm going to be my own God comes in.
I think the farther we get away from the Father, you know, just one step, and you pursue that line very far, and you are way off.
Yeah.
It's you know, it's those 1 degree off things, mm-hmm. where you punch that out, and you look nothing like your Father. You look nothing like created in our image because you've set yourself up to be your own God.
Which is just crazy what fear does.
Yeah. Like. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And so we destroy the beauty of authority through absolute perversion, self-preservation, fear. And then diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Diversity gets caught up in that as well. Now it's all about uniformity. Show me what I want to see,
yeah.
or I will punish you until you show me what I want to see.
Which, I mean, there's extreme versions of that, mm-hmm. I feel like. And then there's the simple versions of it in even, like, take the education systems. Like, every child has to learn, like, this way. Otherwise, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, having 3 kids, like we've talked about before, they're all very different. Just in that alone, I have learned I don't know how you would be successful if I approached to teach you exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so from just that simple place of diversity, let alone men and women being mm-hmm. different or culturally or, you know, your beliefs. I mean, I feel like there's just a swirl of there's no value unless we agree.
And we are all trying to get to the standard of love, you know, but we're not all trying to get to the standard of the pastor or the standard of the parent or the standard of the boss. We really are trying to get to the standard of our God, which is love one another,
mm-hmm.
you know, live in purity and power. That would be the standard we're called to. But I think another beautiful thing that our God has done that kept us from falling down another hole is nobody's ever seen him, meaning that we don't have a statue of God.
It's true.
Or everybody would be held to that statue.
Yeah.
You know, we have a Bible, which kind of turns into a statue if you're not careful, but it is filled with permission to be who you were created to be in relationship with love.
Yeah.
There's the freedom. There's the breadth of it all. So Adam and Eve are created in the garden to be this beautiful set of synergizing companions towards life and authority. And instead, it has turned into a war.
Mm-hmm.
It's turned into absolute fear between men and women. They're just scared of not getting their needs met. They're afraid of being hurt or oppressed by the other.
Which is, I mean, again, I know we've said this before, but it feels like that is, I was listening to a lady that I really love. Her name is Dr. Meg Meeker. I think you told me about her, but we saw her at a conference. But she, one of the things she just said in this video I watched was, she's a pediatrician, and she says, if I can help the parents, I don't have to worry about the children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of, and she's talking about
culture.
Yeah, going after, you know, the ones that are supposed to lead in culture, the ones that are supposed to lead in love, the ones that are supposed to lead in protection. And, you know, her biggest thing is chasing after the parents because they are the head of the family.
Yeah.
And, you know, just even picking apart how Adam and Eve, you know, the fall happened, and then now forever, I fight against you like cats and dogs,
mm-hmm.
and hoping that one of us will be the winner.
And so if we get back to protecting, you know, the way submission protects authority, the way diversity protects identity and, mm-hmm. and permission, and the way covenant love protects the behavior that we have towards each other, that we're actually building relationships instead of zealously tearing them down, right. zealously dismantling them, zealously applauding divorce and rejection and punishment of each other, judgment. If a parent, you know, if two parents will create a family where they are bringing heaven to earth instead of just scooping up flaming hot earth and blowing on the coals every day. That's all the difference.
Yeah, which is just, I mean, again, I think in the current culture we have, there's the image of a broken family is pretty easy to find.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we were talking about this before of it's hard to find a movie, a show, or anything that points back to a superhero father,
mm-hmm.
for one,
mm-hmm.
or even a parent relationship that is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we couldn't find one really.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't kind of some element of, you know, the kind of mm-hmm. experience of the father, or which is just crazy that has become the goal of everything around us, is to just continue to promote through the eyes of the deceiver.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best ways to see more healthy whole families is leading by example. You can be that example. In fact, you should be that example. Listening to The Kylos Show will help. But if you want further instruction and more helpful tools from people you know and trust, then get a Life Academy All Access membership. That includes courses like Relationships 101, based off Danny's book, Keep Your Love On, Parenting 101, Successful Confrontation, Parenting Sexuality, and many more. You would be crazy not to do it. It's one of the simplest, easiest, most cost-effective ways you can raise your relationship IQ. So visit the Life Academy at lovingonpurpose.com and get an all-access membership today.
So if we want to build whole, healthy families, mm-hmm. I feel like we have to have the courage to talk about the dysfunctions that we've got going on and confront them and move away from them and stop these cycles.
Absolutely. It's scary. It's scary because it's pain usually.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's usually enough pain to get us almost to build a personality around it to hide it.
Yeah, I mean, literally trying to, I just think we need this more than ever for you to have some courage. That's what I just keep thinking about. Mm-hmm.
I think in families where there's an addict or there's just a lot of fear and control, there's roles that people play. You know, I've seen so many different versions of this, but there's the hero child who just basically tries to convince everybody that looks at their family, there's nothing wrong here, nothing to see here. This, you
We're
know, I'm
good.
Straight A's, I'm a quarterback on the team. Yeah, don't look under the hood though, because our family is cray cray. And then usually the next child who looks and sees that the hero position is taken up, they're the scapegoat. They're the one that doesn't do anything right. You know, they're the Uncle Ted. They're the Uncle Johnny. They're the ones that just go, I'm going to go the opposite direction that first child went. And then there's the lost child, which is the one that just tries to be as small a target as possible and disappears. And then there's usually a mascot. You know, there's the youngest child who's the clown, and makes everybody laugh. And it's there is these positions that you play on this dysfunctional team just to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in a crazy world, but I was the hero child.
Yeah.
And there's just two of us. So Johnny was the scapegoat. And we saw, in, you know, just a few years between my mom and dad's divorce and her remarriage, we saw a parade of more than 20 guys come through our house that were, you know, in essence, we thought they were going to be our daddies. You know, they lived with us for a short time or a long time. And I was programmed, literally programmed by, be afraid of submission, be afraid of being different or diversity, be afraid of being myself.
Mm-hmm.
And every man for himself. There was no understanding of covenant at all. So until I was 21 years old, that is 100% of what I knew. So I get saved.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm born again.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is, it didn't happen is my memory did not get erased.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been, it seems like that should have happened somewhere. Like,
you know, like Men in Black and you get flashy light.
Get the flashy thing.
And with Jesus, you get a flashy
thing. Hit me with the flashy thing. I didn't get the flashy thing. And so right away, I'm noticing how different these guys are.
Mm-hmm.
And all these guys are fathers, husbands, servants, kind, courageous, committed to each other. And I'm just watching. I'm just taking it in. Like, I have absolutely no idea how to do all the stuff that you're doing. You're building the Eiffel Tower speaking in French to each other. I have no idea what is happening here, but a guy named Bill Johnson, in essence, my father, I watched him do a really great job of serving his father, bringing heaven to his life and to his family. And then I watched a bunch of other men who had a life like mine relearning what it meant. And I jumped into that crowd. I'm like, yeah, I want to be on the relearning bus. Yeah. Let's do this. Wow, what do you do? Why do you say that? I've never heard anybody say that before. It's like, yeah, he does a lot of that. Shh, be quiet. Just keep watching. And then I got married.
Yeah.
And I thought I knew. I thought I got it. You know, I watched that stuff for about a year, got married. And realized I didn't learn
you need
very
some
much.
More relearning.
I didn't learn very much at all.
Which I mean, I obviously wasn't around yet until a little bit later. But I think, looking at the potential of what my life could have been based off of, had you not met the Lord, not found Bill. Because, I mean, there was lots of opportunity for there still to not be a good father example, too.
Absolutely. I am so blessed.
Yeah. And I think that, it feels like the opportunity for courage to not show up is easy to find when, you weren't handed something that's helpful. You weren't handed something that creates change or creates something that you want. But I think that, you were given an opportunity and you chose to see courage and you chose to trust that there's going to be something different. And I mean,
yeah. And change is an option. Growth is an option. Mm-hmm. Absolute transformation is an option.
Yeah.
No matter what cards you were dealt, if you point your heart at, I want heaven to manifest in my life. Mm-hmm. I want heaven to manifest in my family. Then all of a sudden, I am created in our image. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I have all these aspects alive in me, and Sherry has alive in her, and all of our kids have that option. All of our grandkids have that option. All of a sudden, there's this inheritance, that can pass because we did the hard work. Well, I tell you what, we did the painful work. We're still doing it, actually, but it's worth every drop of it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's doing the hard work. Like, I probably got more out of the boys. You were still relearning in marriage.
It's true.
Right?
You were practice child number one.
Right. And even the exposure of you and mom trying to figure out what submission looked like, and as a good thing, because she came from her own world of, fight and self-protection that she learned. But I just think, I don't know if you remember these stories, but like, I probably was in junior high maybe. And I remember you would send me flowers for Valentine's Day or different things. And I still remember, I don't know why, but this little glass swan that had a rose in it. And I just remember feeling the most special little girl in the whole classroom because I got not just a bouquet of flowers from the grocery store, but it was like this, it felt like a Cinderella slipper almost, It was just this added element of, I don't know. Special.
You are special.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly. And so I think translate that to me as an adult and what am I looking for in a man, had that not been the pursuit of you finding courage to find what a father is and to love me as a daughter the way that I meant to be loved and to give me the example of what should I expect from my own husband, I don't know that I wouldn't have found Ben.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something that a guy like me has to learn, though. I have to figure that out, that, the same lady that you were talking about earlier.
Meg Meeker.
Yeah, strong fathers, strong daughters. Mm-hmm. I mean, I read that book and I realized, oh my gosh, you know, this, there is a impartation that's going to come from the way I treat you that will affect the way you see your husband and your own children. And I never would have put those together in a million years, you know. And until I am surrounded by people that are bringing heaven to earth.
Yeah. I know Ben just read that book, which we were going through one of the hardest seasons we've ever had with Lainey.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, really hard season. And he's reading this book just weeping.
Mm.
And he has a great dad, and he was raised in a Christian home. They're second generation Christians, Ben's third generation Christians. You know, this was different than what your first generation. So, but I remember Ben reading this book and just kind of realizing that if I don't show Delaney what she's worth in my fight and pursuit towards her heart, she will never know and forever settle. And it just rocked him, which I was so grateful for the season that we were in, and that book came right then, because I mean, I'm in this fight, you know, we all know I'm a scrapper anyway. So I'm just kind of like, I'm going to do it, you know, but I can't do the father's role in Delaney's life. And I think that's part of the thing that what I'm seeing, the breakdown of family is just that removing of fathers, but how crucial it is to, you know, the success of a family.
Yeah. Yeah. And Ben has to face his dragons to go in there and not have it just work out like a frozen pizza, you know, like, pop it in the oven, set the timer, here you go, chop it up. Hey, okay, it ain't awesome, but, you know, I didn't have to make it from scratch. And it feels like, you know, when you are shaping the life, especially a father to a daughter, a mother to a son, it's the cross-gender thing, because the Delaney, the first man Delaney fell in love with is Ben.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's the template. And she'll walk around with that template for the rest of her life until she finds somebody. And she goes, will you be my husband?
Yeah.
And same, Lincoln. Lincoln's getting wife lessons from the first woman he fell in love with, which is you, his mom.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes so crucial that we stay aware of this is how this works. You know, there is a life lesson in that relationship, why it's so important to do it well. It's so important to manage myself towards being like the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Even like Jesus says, you know, if you see me, you see my Father. There's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Father's heart fuels who we were created to be. And who we were created to be is actually Christ-like. Here it is. Here comes this whole thing again.
Yeah.
In the spirit of love, we see our Father and become Christ-like. Mm-hmm. Boom. There's the package again.
So I think, I mean, looking to Jesus as the hope of, you know, being a place of courage and a place of, you know, like he's mirroring his Father. So I guess I think about the people that maybe don't have a Bill Johnson or don't have a Danny Silk. You know, where do you direct them? Where do you say to go and look until God brings that into their life?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you have the Kylo show, you know, you have the internet, you have, you actually do have more options today than have ever been available as far as finding someone that you can hear the Father in, not your earthly father, which is classically the mistake we make, is I listen for what I was trained in, and then I reinforce it. And as a result, I reproduce it. Even if I put it off and said, I'll never be like that, which is a guaranteed way to be like that.
Yeah.
You know, unforgiveness is one of the ways you inherit that influence, as is honor. But if you could honor the great aspects, the things that were virtuous, the things that were loving. If you can honor those things, find those things, be grateful for them, you will inherit that. If you can forgive and not, if you're a believer, it's not even a request, it's a command. Forgive.
Yeah.
And I will forgive. That breaks that influence into your future by simply confessing. You know what? Mm-hmm. That's, it's, I'm not the judge of that, nor am I the punisher. And I release you from my judgments and punishments.
So really, we are challenging these people to go and find courage mm-hmm. to confront the dysfunctions that are taking over the families mm-hmm. and our current world, and kind of trying to give you a map and strategy and clarity to what a whole healthy family looks like mm-hmm. and whether you came with a father, an earthly father, that's a good example, or not, that there's resources for you to bring change and a new culture to your family.
And bring heaven to your house.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a good one right there. So that's the goal, guys. Go and be whole, healthy families. We are cheering you on for your success.
Next week's episode will be about authority and fatherhood. You're not going to want to miss it. Never miss any episode by subscribing to The Kylo Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armerding with co-producers Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, and show promoter, me, Christian Zamora. That's all for this episode. We'll see you next week.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun, trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. So start your free trial of SiriusXM today. Visit SiriusXM.com/believe.